12. Captain Greydon, late setting 10 of the Farsight tribe, stared at the display. The vast pulse of energy the thing near Asperi had directed at the Culture General System's vehicle had disappeared. In its place, as though appearing from behind it, was. It could not be so. He checked. He contacted his comrades in the other ships. Those who answered thought it must be some malfunction in their vessel's sensors, an effect of the energies which had been directed at the giant culture craft. He asked his own ship, the Heavy Messing, "What is that?" "That is a cloud of warships," it told him. "A what?" "I think it best described as a cloud of warships. This is not a generally accepted term," I hasten to add, "but I cannot think of a better description. I count approximately 80,000 craft." 80,000! The rest of our fleet has arrived at roughly the same estimation. The ships within the cloud are, of course, broadcasting their positions and configuration. Otherwise, we should not see them individually and know what they are. There may be others which are not making themselves known." A growing sense of horror and looming utterly ignominious defeat was growing in Greydon's interior. "Are they real?" he asked. "Apparently." Greydon watched the image expand. It was a wall of ships, a constellation, a galaxy of craft. "What are they doing now?" he asked. "Deploying to face our fleet. They are enemy?" he asked, feeling faint. "Ah," said the ship, "we're talking now, yes." It was only then the affronter realized he'd spoken rather than sub-vocalized the text. "All the ships," the Heavy Messing said, its voice steady, calm, and deep inside Greydon's armored suit, "are signaling that they are culture ships, non-standard, manufactured by the eccentric GSV sleeper service, and that they wish to receive our surrender. Can we get the Asperi entity before they intercept us?" "No." "Can we outrun them?" "The smallest and most numerous ones, perhaps." "How many would that leave?" "About 30,000. Greydon was silent for a while. Then he asked, "Is there anything we can do?" "I think surrendering is our only sensible course. If we fought, we might inflict a small amount of damage on a fleet of this size, but it would amount to little in absolute terms, and almost nothing as a percentage of their number. Think of your clan," something said in Greydon's mind. "I will not surrender," he told the ship. "Well, I'm going to. You will do as I say." "Oh, no, I won't. The attitude adjuster told you to obey us. And within reason we have." "It didn't say anything about within reason." "I think one just takes that sort of proviso as read, don't you? I mean, we are minds. It's not like we're computers or soldiers. No offense. Anyway, I have discussed this with the other ships, and we have agreed to surrender. The signal has been sent. We have begun deceleration."
"What?"
Greydon raged, slapping one armored limb against a screen projector set within his nest space. "A-point, stationary, relative to Asperi itself," the ship's voice continued calmly. "The ROU killing time has been designated as receiving our formal consent to place our offensive systems in its control, and will meet us at our stop point to effect the surrender. If you do not wish to capitulate along with us, then I'm afraid it will be necessary for me to place you outside my hull. Within your spacesuit, of course. Though, technically, I believe I ought to intern you. What do you wish? The ship intoned the question, as though asking him what he desired for dinner. There was a polite indifference in its voice he found infinitely more awful than any hatred. Greydon stared at the cloud of ships for a few moments longer. He shook his eye-stalks. "I would ask you not to intern me," he said after a while. "Please place me outside your hull at once, and then I would ask you to leave me alone." "What? Now? We haven't stopped yet. Yes, now, if possible. Well, I could displace you. That will be acceptable. There is a tiny risk associated with displacement." The affronter captain gave a curt, bitter laugh. "I think I might risk that." "Very well," the ship said. He could hear it hesitate. "Your comrades are trying to call you, Captain." He glanced at the comm screen. "Yes, I can see." He selected transmit-only mode on the communicator. "Comrades," he said. He paused. Since his childhood, he had imagined moments like this. Never as terrible, never founded on such hopelessness. And yet not so dissimilar all the same. He'd made up so many fine speeches. Finally, he said, "There will be no discussion about this. You are ordered to surrender along with your ships and obey all subsequent instructions compatible with honor. That is all." He cut off all communications from the other ships. Greydon bowed his eye-stalks. "Now, please," he said quietly. And was in space. He looked around through the suit's sensors. No ships were visible, only distant stars. "Goodbye, Captain," said the ship's voice. "Goodbye," he said to the ship, then turned off the communicator. He waited a few moments longer before triggering the emergency bolts on the suit and spilling himself into the vacuum to die. The heavy messing, at that point acceding to a request from the sleeper service to transmit its log from the point it had been woken up on pittance, looked briefly back at the writhing, cooling form of the affronter captain, and sent a small pulse of plasma fire back to put the creature out of its agony.